This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Imagine being able to book luxury travel, score free flights, and stay in amazing hotels, all without spending hours mastering complicated points and miles strategies. It may sound too good to be true, but today's guest, Jenny Franklin, has cracked the code on a lazy approach to points and miles, maximizing rewards with minimal effort. Regardless if you're a total beginner or just want to simplify your strategy, this episode will show you how to travel smarter, not harder.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I'm your host, DeAndre Koch. Today, I'm excited to chat with Jenny, who's all about simplifying the world of points and miles. Her approach focuses on earning with minimal effort, using flexible currencies, welcome bonuses, and simple redemption strategies for flights and hotels. And she takes it, or calls it, a lazy points and miles approach. And so I think this is going to be fantastic. If you've ever felt intimidated by points and miles, Jenny's here to show you how easy and rewarding it can be. So Jenny, welcome to the show.
Thanks, DeAndre. Happy to be here.
Awesome, Jenny. I'm so glad that you're here today. And I think this is going to be a really great episode for those that are in the points and miles space, and they're not on that same expert level that we are. And they're intimidated that this is just a world that's little too complex. And I think, you know, as a financial advisor, I can relay the similar thought that sometimes being lazy with your finances can still be smart. As an example, having a 401k that's just automatically getting saved into from your paycheck, you're not super active, it's lazily getting saved, is smart. So there's got to be some smart ways to be lazy with points and miles. And I'm super excited to get to hear that from you today. So Jenny, I want to just start off and just ask, where in the world are you and how did you get into the world of points and miles?
All right. Yeah. So I am in South Florida, not Miami. I'm about 2 hours north on the east coast of Florida, more in like the West Palm area. But I went to college in North Florida at Florida State, and I majored in hospitality administration and marketing. So I worked in hotels for many, many years. And I love to travel. That's how I got into the industry. And while I was working in hotels, I was able to take advantage of some really awesome team member discounts. I think the lowest we ever got to pay for a hotel was like $35 a night, which is pretty amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely missed that. But now sometimes I pay zero, so there's that. But if you're familiar with the hospitality industry, or even if you're not, you may have heard that in the hospitality industry, they kind of work you pretty hard. You don't really have much of a work-life balance. So you're working a lot, working weekends, working nights, working early mornings. So as somebody who loves to travel, it was really hard to even be able to take advantage of those team member discounts because I was always working. So I decided to do a career change. I switched over to software as a service industry. So I was working in tech. So I got, you know, a better work-life balance, but I lost the team member discounts. And I'm definitely somebody who loves and appreciate luxury and comfort. I love those beautiful hotels, but I don't want to pay for it. So I spent a lot of time researching and, you know, how can I make my money and my expenses work for me? And I think it was Warren Buffett. I don't know if you ever heard this quote where he said, if you're not making money while you're sleeping, then you'll work until you die.
As a financial advisor, yes, that is something that I can't say I breathe, but yes, have heard that quote many, many times.
Yeah, so that's something that I've like kind of got obsessed with. Like, I wanted to always find ways to make my money work for me in any way I can. And I really just hate paying full price for really anything. So as you can imagine, having to pay full price for travel now that I'm not in the hospitality industry anymore, I don't have those team member discounts, was just really not going to fly anymore. So that's how I found Points and Miles. I did some research, you know, went down that rabbit hole that I'm sure all of us have done if you're in this game even a little bit. So yeah, that was a decade ago. I've made a ton of mistakes since, but I've also had some really amazing experiences that I otherwise would never be able to have afford. So I'm super grateful for Points and Miles.
That's awesome. So that's how you got into the Points and Miles space, but I'm really curious, what really inspired your approach to earning Points and Miles with minimal effort? I'm really curious about that. Can you expound a little bit on what that means?
Yeah, so I call it a lazy approach to Points and Miles. And it's not because I'm trying to call anybody out there for being lazy, but it was just something that came to me. But, you know, like, I'm a normal person. You're a normal person. You know, it's just me, my husband, you know, we love to travel, but we don't really have the time or energy to really take on like studying, you know, getting a PhD in Points and Miles. I remember when I first started to kind of like dip my toes in this, I was reading all the blogs and I was feeling like really overwhelmed by all of the information out there. You know, I joined Facebook groups and I was feeling really intimidated by a lot of the strategies people were talking about and a lot of the, you know, abbreviations people start kind of throwing out there. And I'm like, what is it that they're talking about? Why does this have to be so complicated? I just want to not pay full price for travel. Like, I was like, should I just like give up on this? Like, I don't really fit in with this crowd, I felt like. But then I went back and thought about like, okay, well, then I have to pay full price for travel now. And I still just can't do it. I was like, that really irked me. That really wasn't something I wanted to do. So I was like, well, maybe if I just focus on one credit card, maybe, you know, I can at least earn enough to get one night, two nights free here and there, maybe shave off some cost and price on like some flights or something. And then, you know, at least that's better than doing nothing, you know? So I thought, all right, so maybe I could take a laid back approach to this. I can still save money on travel without having to really grasp all of the strategies and every single thing that everybody else is doing and putting into practice. Why don't I just do what works for me? And in doing so, I realized that I could do that and still be successful. And you know what? It really doesn't take that much with Points and Miles to be able to cover even like the biggest travel expense. I mean, I remember back in like 2016, it was my first redemption ever. We were going to Europe and I booked through the bank portal, got three free nights in London, and I was ecstatic. I had absolutely no idea what I was doing, but if it wasn't for that experience, I never would have had the confidence to, you know, continue learning, continue researching, taking it one step at a time, doing what works for me, not what everybody else is doing. And that's really what kind of inspired me, because I thought, I can't be the only person who is like this. Like, there's got to be other people out there who don't want to do everything. They just want to do something, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what you just said is super key to focus on, right? Your confidence elevated dramatically when you did your first redemption.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a piece that is probably not stated enough in this industry and in this world of points and miles, because like you said, I mean, it feels like you can develop a PhD in analytics and points and miles mastery, and you can have all the knowledge of, okay, I need this card to get this amount of points. I'm going to use this card here for my groceries and this one for my gas and all these things. And I've got this entire strategy laid out of how I'm going to get hit signup bonuses. But until you actually click the button to transfer your points and do all the things, right, that can be super nerve-wracking. And so that first redemption, even if it's not the best redemption, even if it's not the 5 cent per point redemption, just the fact that you said, you know what, I've got some points to use, I'm going to go ahead and in this case use the bank portal to do it, whether it was Chase portal or Amex portal, whatever it may be, you use the portal to do it, and you're like, wow, I just got three essentially nearly free nights by doing so. That boosted your confidence. And I think for a lot of people listening, I would encourage you, if you haven't done a redemption yet, it doesn't have to be the perfect redemption. Do something. Do a staycation. Do something that's you can drive to. You don't have to fly to, right? If you like to go to Myrtle Beach with your family, maybe see if there's a hotel you can use there for points. There's so many different things that you can do. So I think it's really empowering what you just said by taking that first redemption. And the other thing I want to comment on is the fact that you had said it felt like you had to be an expert and it's overwhelming. And I think a lot of people feel that way as well, because in the points world, there's kind of two sides to the strategy, right? There's the earning point side, but then there's the redeeming point side. And you kind of have to feel like you've got to be experts at both. And so I'm really curious, where did you start focusing your attention to start feeling like you didn't have to have a PhD in points?
Yeah, absolutely. And what you just touched on is so true. In my Facebook group, I have so many people who are always, before they even apply for a credit card, they're like, but how am I going to use the points? Or before they even like join loyalty programs and start to earn points, they're like, but how do I use this? So for me, and what I like to teach them is I say, why don't you just focus on one thing at a time? And for me, it's focusing on earning flexible and transferable currencies and only focusing on that first, because newsflash, you can't redeem points that you don't have. So let's focus on earning the points and then we can think about redeeming them later. And when you're earning flexible and transferable currencies, you don't really have to worry about whether or not your points are going to be usable, because you have so many options and opportunities because they're flexible. So that gives you the ability to just say, you know what, I'm just going to focus on earn, earn, earn. I'll worry about the redemption later when I actually have the points and I'm ready to redeem.
So when someone comes to you off the street, Jenny, and they say, okay, you just said flexible points, what are the cards that you're talking about in this flexible points space? And what does flexible points really mean relative to non-flexible points?
So when I'm talking about flexible currencies versus non-flexible currency, I'm really thinking like those bank travel credit cards that you see all the time, like the Chase Sapphire Preferred, the Amex Gold or the Amex Platinum, or the Capital One Venture X or the Citi Strata. Those points that you're earning with those credit cards are points that you can use to pay for flights, to pay for hotels, to pay for car rentals, to pay for activities. Pretty much like whatever you would be doing besides food, I guess, you can use those points when it comes to those credit cards. Now, non-flexible points are really going to be those co-branded credit cards. When I say co-branded, I mean those banks like Chase or Amex, they will then partner with our favorite hotel chains like Hilton or Marriott or favorite airlines like Delta or American Airlines. And they will say, when you use these co-branded credit cards, you're not earning our bank points. You're going to be earning points towards those specific loyalty programs. And because you're earning those points with those specific loyalty programs, that means that those points can only be used within those programs. So if you have a Delta SkyMiles credit card, you're earning points for Delta SkyMiles. Even if that credit card is with American Express, that doesn't matter. They're just the ones that are facilitating what you're doing is earning Delta points, and you can only use that on Delta flights. So when we talk about earning flexible points, I'm really thinking Chase Sapphire Preferred, Amex Platinum, those bank travel rewards credit cards. Those are the ones that are really going to give you a leg up when it comes to redeeming later.
I love how you kind of clarified that aspect, because a lot of times, and I'm sure this happens to you in this space as well, right? You're talking to someone about points and miles and the value and the benefits, and you talk about, oh yeah, you know, the Amex Platinum is great. And they're like, yeah, I have the Amex Delta Platinum card. And they know, or we know, I should say, that that is very, very different from the value of the points in the Amex Platinum. And so while I don't discourage someone saying, hey, you should never have that card, of course, in the points and miles space, that wouldn't be our first recommendation. Now, when you're much higher in this game or this in this skill set of utilizing points and miles for your travel, it can be very valuable, especially if you find yourself at a Delta hub or whatever it may be. But when you're really trying to say, hey, I want to take that flight on Emirates to Dubai or to the Maldives or whatever it may be, that card's probably not going to help you so much. So Jenny, my next question for you is, everyone's travel situation is different, right? You and I have the similarities of we're both dinks. I guess I'm a dink wad because we got the with a dog, you know, the dual income, no kids with a dog side of things. But we're both dinks, right? So we're doing travel a little bit different than a lot of our listeners that might have kids, and not just one or two, but maybe three or four. So how do you recommend people build out their starter strategy when it comes to these flexible currency cards you're talking about?
Yeah. So I know for those bigger families, I mean, for me and my husband, we really try to keep our expenses low. I mean, it's just the two of us, so they're already low in comparison to a family, but then we also try to keep them low. And I know that a lot of families are like that too, but the fact that they have like three, four, or five people within their household, it doesn't matter how scrappy they get, their expenses are still pretty high. So for me, the number one thing I like to recommend, and you could probably appreciate this as a financial advisor, is I say you got to figure out what or how much you're spending within a month. Like every month, how much are you guys actually spending? And I know, as you know, we're busy, like there is a lot of things we have to worry about. And one thing we don't really like worrying about is how much we're spending every month. You know, we're swiping those cards, kind of just like crossing our fingers, thinking at the end of the month, I just hope I have enough money to cover these credit card bills. You know, we're not really thinking like, how much are you actually spending? So number one is, how much are you actually spending? And then the next thing is, in what categories are you making those expenses? Where are your highest spending categories? And then focus on credit cards. Like, yeah, focus on credit cards that have really great welcome bonuses. But then the next thing is, are they going to help me with my everyday spending when I'm done earning this welcome bonus and now I have this credit card and I want to be able to maximize my spending? Do they have bonus multipliers in those categories where I have the highest expenses? And then that way, when you're not earning those welcome bonuses, because for me, we don't like to always be applying for credit cards all the time. If you're trying to take a laid back approach to this, you're probably not going to want to do that. And when you're not earning those welcome bonuses, there's got to be a way for you to be able to earn as many points as possible. And how you do that is by choosing a core group of credit cards with those bonus multipliers that can help you earn those points.
Hey everyone, I hope you're enjoying this week's episode. DeAndre here, and I just wanted to interrupt briefly to remind you of two things. First, be sure to sign up for our newsletter where we give you direct access to travel updates, news you'll want to jump on in the points and miles world, and our continuously updated card offers to maximize your travel rewards, often before they're ever mentioned in the show. Also, if you didn't already know, we have a private Facebook group where we share news as it breaks, ideas, and other things that don't make it into the newsletter or show many times, and that's the best place to get your points and miles question answered directly by me and other travel enthusiasts. Both of these links will be in the show notes. Now, back to the show. So let me ask you this, Jenny. What would you say are your kind of go-to cards for you and your husband? what we call your daily drivers, right? So you may have a myriad of cards. Maybe you only have just the daily drivers, but what are the ones that you have as your go-to and why?
Yeah. So in our wallets all the time, we have the Chase Sapphire Preferred for restaurants mostly. We have the Capital One Venture X for 2x on everything. So I always say we want to try and earn 2x at minimum. And then we have the Chase Freedom Flex. So for those bonus categories that we can kind of like fill in, especially for groceries. But I also do have the City Strata that earns me 3x on groceries. And then we're really into Chase. So we have all the Chase business credit cards and we refer each other to those. So that has been a really big help with us in our earning strategy. I haven't really gotten into Amex yet, just because for me, I haven't seen a need for us at this point. I know we want to get into it eventually, but you know, with the higher annual fees and all of those credits that, you know, I'm the person that wants to maximize everything and make sure that I'm using everything. And if it's going to be kind of difficult for me to do that, then I'm just like, no, not yet. Like there's something else that I could be using. I actually just got recently the Wells Fargo Autograph Collection credit card. And I use that for it's 4X and 5X on like hotels and airlines. I forget which one. I think it's 5X on hotels, 4X on airlines. And we just went on a family trip and I was able to put everyone's flights and all the hotels on that credit card. So that really helped us without really having to worry about a welcome bonus. So those are kind of what we have going on right now.
Well, I like, as you know, just a few minutes ago, you mentioned something that's very key, which is the fact that you have to do what works for you. And I think, you know, with your motto of kind of a lazy points approach, and it's more so lazy, it's just saying that you're not trying to be in the weeds with this, with 17 monitors looking at what the best redemption strategy is, and you're not going in a dark room with the spinny cap level of points and miles analytics. But at the end of the day, you're doing what works for you. So some people may say, oh man, you don't have Amex. You could have the Amex Gold and the Amex Platinum and then this and that. And you're like, hey, I get it, but I don't really want to deal with having to navigate all of the where the credits come in and the benefits. Now, I would argue there's some really great benefits there, but at the end of the day, you have to do what works for you. And you've kind of found your system between Chase, Capital One, and now the Wells Fargo, which just came into as a player. So really curious to see what's going to happen there. I've not taken advantage of that card myself. So I think that's really cool. So now my question for you is going to be on the flip side, Jenny. So we talked about your earning strategy. How do you simplify the process of redeeming? Because arguably that is the toughest part of points and miles, because it's making sure that you're getting the right value for your points and making your points last the longest. So how do you simplify that and make it easier? Make it lazy, as you call it.
Yeah, that's definitely true, which is why I tell people, don't worry about the redemption part yet. We'll just worry about that later. But I mean, for me, lately, I've been kind of into the bank portals, and I know that people are going to come for me for that. But I mean, with all of these devaluations that we're dealing with the airlines, Marriott just had a devaluation recently. It's kind of comforting to me to know that I'm going to get a set redemption rate for my points. I'm just now planning a trip to the UK for our wedding anniversary in October. And some of our destinations, you know, you really don't have a lot of options when it comes to points hotels. And that doesn't mean that I'm not going to use my points. So I was looking through the bank portal, looking at what my options were. And I found something really interesting. I saw that, like, for the Hilton Cardiff, for 3 nights, I could book that for 107,000 points for 3 nights. Now I went to the Hilton website directly and I looked at that, and the first night was 165,000 points. And so for me, booking through the portal, I mean, yes, elite status, you want to get your nights, yada, yada. Listen, I'm just trying not to pay full price for travel here. So for that, to me, that's kind of a no-brainer when it comes to redeeming. So, I mean, I would not sleep on the bank portal. And then another thing that I'd like to think of when I'm trying to redeem is, since I'm earning those flexible points, I know that I'm going to have a lot of options when it comes to redeeming. So when I'm ready to redeem, I look at the currencies that I'm earning and I say, okay, what are the transfer partners? Do they have transfer bonuses? Do I think it's worth my time? Do a little research, look to see if there are any sweet spots with the currencies that I have. And then kind of go from there. I'm really into, you know, being flexible. I think that's probably the reason why I've been able to get the types of redemptions I've been able to with taking a lazy approach to this. It's because I'm very flexible with literally everything, flexible with the types of currencies I earn, flexible with the dates that we travel, flexible with the destinations. I really chase the deal rather than the destination for sure. And I think that that's really important when you're taking this type of approach.
Got it. So chase the deal, not the destination. That is huge because flexibility is absolutely key. I think the majority of us in the points and miles space know and actively work on saying, hey, you know what? We'll make sure that we find the right redemption versus pigeonholing us to a very specific time frame of needing to travel. Now, that doesn't work for everyone. For certain people, they know that their kid's spring break is this week. And unfortunately, it's the same week as like every kid in the United States. And so that makes it really hard to find great redemption deals in that time frame. Not impossible, but maybe that's a time where using the points through the portal can make more sense because you're going to get some value for your points instead of paying 300,000 Hilton points a night for a spring break night or something along those lines. So the flexibility is really key there. So when you take this approach, when it comes to this more simplified approach to points and miles, my question is, are you trying to find what's going to be the best redemption in that moment? So yes, you're still being flexible. Yes, you may use the bank portal or something along those lines, which, you know, we're not going to outcast you from the points and miles community for doing so. But my question is, do you still try to get the most value for your points when you do that? And if so, how do you go about doing so?
Yeah, it's definitely catch 22 there, because on the one hand, you want to not care at all because you're like, I want to save money and I've earned these points. I want to use them. And then you're like, but I'm taking a laid back approach to this. I'm probably not earning a million points a year like other people are. So I really want to make sure that these stretch as far as possible. So I do a little bit of a combination of using my points and then also paying cash. And, you know, that's really more realistic for me. But also, it's getting a little harder now, but if you're flexible, you are able to really take advantage of some sweet spots. And I'm able to kind of like pick and choose when I want and how I want to use my points. Like, for instance, back in May, I took my mom to Spain. She just retired, so we wanted to go on a trip. She'd worked at the same company for over 25 years. And she's really one of the reasons why I love to travel. So thanks, Mom. So I thought, we have to go on a trip. Where should we go? And one of the things I had seen and read about as far as sweet spots for Chase points or any of those banks that transfer to Iberia is that they have really great redemptions for business class. And I really thought that that would be fun to be able to treat my mom to business class. So I did some research and I found that we could book round trip flights from Miami to Madrid for only 85,000 points per person round trip for business class. And if you know a little bit about redeeming, 85,000 points for round trip business class flights is like unheard of.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And also, like, the cash price for a round trip flight would have been over $4,000 per person. So we got a really good redemption rate there. And because we got a really good redemption rate there, I was able to splurge a little bit and just use cash to pay for our hotels, because whatever's going to save you the most money, right? And we ended up only spending like $1,500 for 12 nights in Spain on hotels. So you know, we saved $8,400 and then spent $1,500 on hotels. So at the end of the day, whatever's going to save me the most money is what I'm going to do.
By chance, Jenny, do you remember roughly what the taxes and fees were on that 80,000 points?
Yes, sorry. The taxes were $280 a person.
So you paid $280 and 80,000 points to fly in business class from Miami to Madrid round trip. And that's probably, I would assume, at least a third, if not a quarter, the cost of an economy flight to Spain round trip. And you did it in business class, which is absolutely incredible. So that's really cool, because I think that gives the listeners a nice little range, because on one hand, you're talking about, yes, sometimes it makes sense. I use my points through the portal. That's the nice simplified approach. Other times, you know what? I hear that it's a great time to transfer from Chase to Iberia. So you did have to do more of the advanced route with points, which is just knowing to transfer from, in this case, Chase to Iberia. And you were able to have an incredible redemption. I think that's fantastic. And then in that, you're like, hey, we saved some money. Let's go ahead and have some nice hotel stays. And $1,500 for, what was that, 12 nights? That's insane.
Yeah, and that's just the power of being able to travel on shoulder season or off season. I mean, we went in May, so it was still a little chilly, but not super hot. In Spain, it was actually, the weather was amazing, but it wasn't that crowded. You know, people are trying to travel usually more in like the fall. A lot of people travel in the summer because school's out and stuff. So because of that, we were able to get some really good deals on hotels. So
that's very awesome. So before we pivot a little bit, I want to ask you, any other rock star redemptions that you've had recently that you want to highlight that just really goes to show that, hey, even by having a less active, more lazy approach to points and miles, you can still have incredible trips?
Yeah, absolutely. So recently, before things kind of changed, but when Hyatt was partnering with small luxury hotels, so I didn't know what we wanted to do for our anniversary, so I decided to just go to the Hyatt website and click on the map and just see where Hyatt hotels were.
I love that. That is awesome.
Yeah, and see like if there were any really interesting properties and any places that we wanted to visit. And we really love Colorado, and I found that there was an all-inclusive luxury ranch. It's called Raywa Ranch in Colorado. And it was going to be originally $1,700 a night, but we paid 105,000 points that I transferred from Chase to Hyatt for that stay. And everything was included. I mean, we stayed in a beautiful cabin. Everything was luxurious. The food was included, the activities, we went horseback riding. It was really an incredible experience that there's absolutely no way I would be able to pay for on my own. So I would say that was pretty rock star. And then for the trip that we're going to be taking to the UK in October, I took advantage of the transfer bonus from Chase to Virgin Atlantic. And now that they have the dynamic pricing, yes, there are some redemptions that are just super outrageous, but because I was being flexible and booking like immediately once availability came out. So we were able to book the A330-900neo, which is their brand new business class. I was able to take advantage of a transfer bonus and then also be able to snag a really great deal. I think for one way, that was like 55,000 points. And then I think it was like a 40% transfer bonus that they had.
Right. Yep. The recent one. Yeah, absolutely. It was a killer deal.
It was amazing. So I actually was able to do that round trip. So it was like 55,000 one way. And then on the way back, I think it ended up being more like 65 or 70, but I mean, still a really great deal. And again, being able to be flexible has really been clutch for us.
Perfect. Perfect. So I love those stories. I want to transition now. Actually, before I transition, I want to comment RIP to SLH leaving Hyatt.
Yes.
I know it is under Hilton now, and from what I hear, I haven't taken advantage, but from what I hear, Hilton's actually doing a really, really good job managing it. And there's some debate right now, is Hilton coming up and taking over for Hyatt as far as one of the top hotel chains in the points and miles space, because of, the Amex points travel or transfer 1 to 2 to Hilton. So there's a lot of value there. So we'll see. But I know SLH is missed from a lot of the Hyatt loyalists for sure, especially the ones that have stayed more so in the Chase Bank chassis when it comes to the card strategy side.
Yeah, absolutely. I was very sad. I mean, I used to work for Hilton. I love Hilton hotels, but the loyalty program has been a little disappointing for me in the past. I've had some wins though too. So it's kind of nice to hear that they're trying to come for Hyatt. I would really like to see that. But even though Hyatt did lose the small luxury hotels, they did get Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And I've been able to take advantage of that on our trip to the UK. We're staying at an absolutely gorgeous property. It's called the Yard in Bath. I'm pretty sure that's a Mr. and Mrs. And I was able to snag that. And I'm really excited about that. So, yeah, you know what? They did lose that, but when one door closes, another one opens. So things are changing.
They did. It adjusts. I will argue, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, though, unfortunately, they just do all dynamic pricing for their points. So we don't get the same kind of value. And, we're not able to use the free night certificates and all the different things that we could have used, like with SLH. But you know what? We'll see what evolves over time. So I agree with you. When one door opens, one door closes.
Yeah, I thought that Hilton was doing dynamic pricing for SLH too.
So they are doing dynamic pricing, but they also are, for almost all of their SLH properties, they actually have their kind of hidden standard award chart. So for every property, they have some rooms or some nights available that's under their standard award pricing. And then once those are booked, it's just dynamic pricing. So it kind of gets you the best of both worlds. And there's some argument that hopefully maybe Hyatt can do the same, have at least a few nights released or a few rooms released to be able to have the standard award booking and then evolve that. So once those are filled, then it becomes dynamic pricing.
I did know that about the dynamic pricing for the Mr. and Mrs. Smith, but because I always try to book like on, shoulder season or like the off season, because the cash prices are a little bit low, the redemptions aren't as bad. I think I paid like, I think it was like 30,000 points a night. It might have been even a little lower. And in comparison to other hotels with other chains, that's still like a really great redemption. But honestly, like I'm paying $0. So.
I mean, at the end of the day, right? It was like, let's do this simply. Let's keep this easy, an easy redemption, and you knocked it out the park. Well, Jenny, before we wrap up here, I wanted to ask, I think one of the things that you mentioned is that this is a good route for people that may be intimidated by the points and miles world. And so I was going to ask, why do you feel people may be intimidated by points and miles? And what's your recommendation on how you would have them go about kind of releasing some of that anxiety, fear, and intimidation?
Yeah, for sure. And, I think unfortunately it has a lot to do with social media. A lot of people get a lot of FOMO. They see these people who are traveling in business class all the time. They are traveling to only exotic destinations, but, social media is only a highlight reel.
Absolutely.
And they may feel like, if I'm going to be doing this, I feel like I'm going to be doing it the wrong way. I'm not going to be able to do it in a way that I see these other people doing it. So maybe it's just not worth it. Maybe I don't really fit into this culture. And, my advice to them in overcoming that is to just really stop caring. Do what works best for you. Don't worry about what everyone else is doing because, hey, they ain't sharing their paycheck with you. They ain't sharing their points with you. So just worry about yourself. Do what works for you. There's really no right way to do this. So the sooner you start doing this, and the sooner you realize that, the sooner you're going to be overwhelmed by the amount of experiences and opportunities you're going to have when it comes to traveling and seeing the world. Because, you know, that's what happened for me. And I'm really grateful that I decided to just do this my way and at my pace. Because if I hadn't, I probably wouldn't have been able to do as much as I have and have had the experiences with my husband, with my mom, you know, with my family. And I really cherish that. And the reason why I teach this strategy and teach this way is because, you know, it makes me sad to think that there's people out there who are just like intimidated by this, thinking that this isn't right for them because they're not doing it the way other people are doing it. So I want them to know that, yes, you can do this. There is no wrong way. And I need you to just start.
I absolutely love that, Jenny. You know what? You're right. I think social media does promote all the good side of it. And I'm guilty of that as well, right? On social media, hey, we went here. We used points for this. We've done that. And that is a lot of the highlights. And a lot of that highlight is true, right? The points trip, flying first class in Emirates, having the Dom on the plane, being in the Maldives. Those are really, really fun and exciting events. But that's also next level in the points and miles space, right? I think if you're able to say, you know what? I flew my family Southwest and we stayed in a Hyatt place and everyone had free breakfast and we did this and saved 90% because we used points, that's a major win as well. And I think you just said it straight, right? None of us are sharing each other's paychecks. We're not sharing our points, typically speaking, with each other. So you got to do what works for you and what makes sense for yourself and your family. And at the same time, you got to just, like you said, you just got to start. And like you mentioned earlier, that was really key. Just try that first redemption. Doesn't have to be next level. You don't got to go to Bora Bora. Just take the trip and have a great time.
Yeah, I love the saying. It's like, focus on the next step. Don't worry about the staircase.
I love that. And the sign behind you, right? Great things take time, right? Great redemptions take time to get there as well. I'm going to go with that. I think it's that also makes sense, right? So it takes time to build up to that. So Jenny, you've provided a lot of really great insight and advice through this whole episode. My kind of last question for you in this space, for someone they're reading all the blogs, they're listening to all the podcasts, our show, other shows, social media, they are inundated with so much stuff right now. If you could only give them one piece of advice, just one, to walk away with from this episode, and it could be something you've already said or something that you have not said yet, what would be the one piece of advice that you would give when it comes to points and miles?
Flexibility. That's the number one thing for me. I think that that's what has really opened up and unlocked the best of points and miles for me personally, is realizing that if I'm flexible, there's a lot more opportunities. And like you said earlier, sometimes people don't have the opportunity to be flexible. You know, they've got their kids, their spring break, but maybe they don't have to go to the same place and spring break at the same place everybody else is. Maybe they can go discover a different destination, go visit a second city or something, or maybe just take the approach like, we know when those breaks in school are going to be, so let's just plan ahead and book something as soon as possible. And I think that that can also really help as well.
That's also true as well. If you know when your spring break is going to be in March of next year for your kids, then April of this year, 11 months out, try to grab those early redemptions. That's a great opportunity as well. Absolutely love that, Jenny. So where can the listeners follow you? I know you said that you have a Facebook group. Where can they follow you?
Yeah, so I'm at Traveling Franklins on Instagram, but I'm really active in my Lazy Budget Travel Tips Facebook group. I know you're super shocked by the name of that group, but it's Lazy Budget Travel Tips. I also have a blog, which is travelingfranklins.com. I've got a lot of resources there. I have a free Budget Travel 101 course, so go to the blog and sign up for that. But yeah, that's where you can find me. I hope that I see you all in the Facebook group.
Awesome, Jenny. Awesome. Two last questions for you before we wrap this one up. The first is, who else should we have on the show? And I know you and I actually met at Travel More at that conference last year. So who else should we have on the show? Maybe that wasn't at Travel More, but's in your points and miles or travel circle.
Yeah. So I have to shout out my amiga, Taima. She is from the blog Poor in a Private Plane. So she's not specifically points and miles, although she really does love points and miles, but I love her content. It's all about, you know, budgeting for travel, how to find those travel deals. And obviously from her name, you could probably figure out that she's really into the luxury travel as well. So, but even if you're not into luxury travel, she's a really good follow. She has an amazing blog. So Taima from Poor in a Private Plane.
Taima, perfect. Well, we'll connect after the show. Maybe we can go ahead and try to get her on a future episode. So Jenny, before we wrap this one up, any final thoughts you have for the listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you guys, don't be afraid to just get started. It doesn't matter what other people are doing. You do you, and it's all going to work out.
Awesome. Well, Jenny, thank you for being a wealth of knowledge on the show today. I love the fact that we took a more lazy, more simplistic, but also a very realistic look and approach to points and miles. And this has been an absolute pleasure having you on today.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. For the listeners out there, don't forget to follow Jenny and all of her travel tips. We're going to link everything of hers in the show notes as well. And if by chance you are a little bit intimidated on points and miles, you don't know where to begin, or you've racked up a bunch of points and you're just like, hey, I don't want to take all the time to figure out how to redeem them. Don't forget, we do have our award travel services and a free consultation with it as well. And if you even need to, our team will book the travel for you. You earn the points, we'll book it for you. So Jenny's been a wealth of knowledge. Go ahead and follow her and all the either active or lazy tips, whatever is your style. Please go ahead and do it. As always, if you like the show today, don't forget to like, subscribe, leave us a rating as well. Sign up for our newsletter if you want more travel tips and content, and we'll catch you in the next episode. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.